Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
Oh, I can't. I'm so happy to be up here this morning. I can just say what a blessing it's been for Jen to teach this year, and I just want to give a moment just to thank her and thank her for her faithfulness. So if we just do that. Having taught for over 30 years in writing studies, it's a joy to have Jen come along and desire to be faithful to teach. So I think she kind of understands what the commitment is now that she's doing it, that she did it every week, but I'm just so incredibly grateful for that. So let's just open in prayer as we talk about some of the things I want to share with you this morning. Father, we just praise you for your holiness. Thank you so incredibly much for your precious word that you've entrusted to us. You've given us the Holy Spirit that dwells within us and teaches us, guides us, directs us. Lord, I thank you that you gift each one of us to encourage fellow believers in the church. Lord, thank you so much that just the joy of hearing how you have moved in the lives of Lulu and Lydia and Natasha. Thank you for your faithfulness to give them the courage to get up and share. And Lord, it is so encouraging as leaders to hear how this study has impacted their lives and will continue to do so. Lord, I pray that you would help us to put away any distractions, that we would be able to focus on you and your truth as we talk through your truth this morning. And we just praise you and thank you for just another glorious day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So there's a couple of things if you don't have them, let me know. One of them is just to take with you, evaluating your spiritual growth. And then we've added to the list just a few references for, hey, I want to grow more in our prayer life. There are several here that are just devotionals. If you're learning how to pray scripture, William Varner is a master's university guy, and he's written this excellent handbook for praying scripture. And obviously the last three references on there are Puritan prayers, and we can learn so much by those faithful prayers. The other thing you should have is just an outline of where we're going this morning. If you don't, everybody get one? Yeah, okay. So we have, as these ladies that have come before me have described, we've studied many aspects of prayer this year. From that perfect example of Jesus through the Psalms and the heart of Paul's prayers. We have focused on adoration, which is that reverence and honor that we give God because of who he is. And it helps us to remember who we are praying to in the first place. And praise his attributes. As we've memorized Psalm 145, one of the last recorded Psalms of David, it's fruitful to go back as we've memorized this. And if we're still lagging behind, I know I am a few verses trying to keep that in my head, to go back and look at those. What an incredible thing to just mark all the attributes of God as you're reading through Psalm 145, and an excellent platform for your time, if you're having purposeful time in prayer before him. We've observed how our prayer life can reflect that of Jesus' prayer that he taught his disciples. And I wish that we could have camped on that. We could have camped on that all year, right? That's our perfect example. We've also grown in our petitions on behalf of our fellow believers, our sisters, particularly regarding their walk with the Lord. How important that is that we lift each other up in this journey. We didn't mind every truth and insight into prayer. And there's so many parts of scripture that we didn't cover, which leaves more for you to discover over the summer. This morning, I want to briefly look at what it looks like to pray without ceasing, the hindrances we encounter, how we're to overcome them, and what we can practice. And I love hearing from all three with some of those things, Lulu particularly mentioning those things that were hindrances to her, and then how she overcame or is endeavoring to overcome that. So praise God for that. So in Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, he writes in chapter 5. Chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will for you in Christ Jesus. I love all those places in Scripture where it talks about it being God's will. There's no question those things aren't meant for us. And that when we do those things, that we honor the Lord. So to pray without ceasing means maintaining this continual awareness of God and communicating Him through the moments and activities of our day. Some commentators today have used the phrase practicing God's presence, and you'll see that. That's a 17th century phrase that was coined. But that whole idea isn't found in Scripture. The idea is found in Scripture. It's a biblical idea, but the actual term, practicing God's presence, isn't found in Scripture. Praying without ceasing or practicing God's presence points to a pattern of prayer that's so consistent and frequent that the breaks are negligible, conveying a life characterized by consistency rather than praying occasionally. And I love the fact that all three of our ladies that shared this morning, all of them in one way or another, can appreciate the fact and how we need to grow in that. Practicing God's presence is, I know we know ladies who do this and are good at doing this. We have the Spirit within us. It's not like God is far off. He desires that close relationship with us. And so as we're practicing God's presence, it's really a matter of all-encompassing our life. He is central to our life. We can say He's central to our life, but do we live like that? I think Lydia mentioned that as well. That whole desire to want to honor Him and glorify Him, and prayers, there's not a magic formula for prayer. Prayer is conveying a life that's characterized by consistency rather than praying occasionally. I know there was a time in my life where if there was something big, I was praying for it. But between those times, there wasn't a lot of prayer happening. One commentator makes the observation that we make the command to pray without ceasing more difficult than it needs to be. Perhaps it's a simple matter of making prayer the main business of our lives. Think about if we were to pray without ceasing, and what changes would occur in our lives, in our hearts, in our families, in those around us. When prayer takes our priority, we experience what it means to offer a sacrifice of praise. Through Him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that confess His name. Hebrews 13:15. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Paul wrote that in Colossians 4:2. And praying at all times with all prayer and petition to the Spirit, to this end being on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Ephesians 6:18. You may have noticed, as we've looked at some of the references and studied this year, that prayer is linked with words such as always, everything. We're talking about without ceasing, and even night and day. I continue to think about Anna when we studied the women of the Bible. Do you remember what her prayer life was like? It says both day and night. Day and night she was faithful to pray. And that God answered that prayer, the Messiah. I mean, she was there and got to see that very thing that she had continued to pray for both day and night. So if you would have looked at Anna's life as a widow, as a woman of 60 years of faithfully praying, we see the fruit. We get the joy of being able to see the fruit of that. All these are different ways to express this idea of praying without ceasing, or in this sense of practicing God's presence. Psalm 25, 4 through 5 says, "Make me know your ways, O Yahweh. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. In hope, I hope in you all the day." It's essential in experiencing this growing intimacy with Him. I was first acquainted with this term of practicing God's presence early in my walk with Christ. And it was during that time that I felt like I had to have like little checkbox. You know, you're first saved, they give you this list, here are the things that you need to do. And I quickly realized that it wasn't a checking off thing, but it was something I needed to learn. I asked God to enable me to appreciate, help me appreciate and sense Him all around and in me, and by that grow my prayer life and my intimacy with Him. I'm going to take a side note and just say, the other side of that communication is not what you conjure up or that you see in the clouds, but it's His precious word, and we've spent the whole year looking at that. So I'm not going to talk about that this morning, but we need to remember that's the other side. As we're praying, we're also in the word, and we're praying the word, and those two things, God communicates with us through His word. So I found myself taking more time throughout the day, and I'm reminded of this when I spend time with my grandsons now, that this being mindful that God never leaves us nor forsakes us. He is with us. Look at this. Thank the Lord for this beautiful day. Just those little things. It doesn't have to be a paragraph. Just those brief things that we say throughout the day that affirms that we are walking with Him and you have this ongoing communication with Him. This practice is training ourselves to be aware of the reality that God is present everywhere and in us, and is so doing, living a pattern of prayer. All of us here can safely say we are not perfect, that we're all in a process, we're all in this journey together, and I feel like this year we have taken that time to commune with God together. I know maybe second to the last time, our prayer, our small group time was just on praising the Lord. And I can say that was one of the most encouraging times I've had in prayer with my sisters, to just praise. And there's obviously lots of thoughts that came into mind at that point, but it's like, that is just a little hint of what we will share together in heaven before Him. It's just the beginning. So Psalm 34:1 says, "I will bless Yahweh at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Praise. We praise Him for His attributes, and that heartfelt praise then grows when our understanding of Him grows. And like I said before, I would encourage you to go back and read through Psalm 145 and just highlight all the attributes. And then if there's some that you're not certain and you don't quite understand that attribute, take the time to really deepen your understanding of that attribute. We're all at different stages growing in our relationship with Him. And I think we can all attest to the fact that practicing God's presence all day long sometimes can be a challenge. God desires not a few moments of our day, but our hearts in every moment of it. That is relationship. Thank God that He grows our love and devotion for Him. To be honest, our natural tendency can be to drift if we're not seeking and following the Lord daily. We need to encourage each other in our walk with the Lord. So I wanted to mention a few common hindrances to our prayer life. We can all relate to the hindrance of sin. While our eternal standing with God remains secure through faith in Christ, personal sin significantly impacts our daily fellowship, our communication, and that intimacy that we can have with Him. Sin acts as a barrier, creating this feeling of alienation from God, and it breaks that personal bond of fellowship with Him, requiring a return through repentance. Unconfessed sin can block your sensitivity to His presence. We know that sin grieves and quenches the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 and 1 Thessalonians 5:19 refer to those things. The sin of pride hinders prayer, as pride makes us think that we are self-sufficient and don't need God's help or his provision or his wisdom. And we all know that we do need all those things. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will receive compassion." So what's the solution to this hindrance? Wow. Psalm 139:23-24, you probably all know this verse. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." It's asking God to bring to your mind anything you may have sinfully done that blocks your intimacy with him. And I personally find that often while I'm praising God, I have to stop and acknowledge my sinfulness and confess and repent before I can continue to praise him. It's a natural byproduct of us coming before a holy God. Psalm 32:3-5 says, "I acknowledge my sin to you. I will confess my transgressions to you, and you forgive the iniquity of my sin." 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So there are many times when I pray, I lose focus, I can become distracted, and sadly, there's been an occasion where I've been so worried that I have fallen asleep praying. So the second thing of hindrance is distractions. Right? How often have you gone to purposely pray and find yourself distracted by all the things you have to do for the day and the things you have to do beyond the to-do list, or your cell phone? That has become like the huge distraction for a lot of us. Or just self, your own thoughts and your lack of attentiveness as you're praying. Since distraction for each one of us can take any form, it's best to remove the obvious ones, and we know what those are, if you can, when you're having a set time of prayer. If your mind is thinking about all the to-dos of the day, I know that I'll stop and I'll write the list, or I already have it on my calendar, those things that I feel that are important. God obviously tends to rearrange those and even remove some of those. But that's a good way to just put that aside and then leave the cell phone on its holster when you're having your quiet time, so that that isn't and doesn't prove to be a distraction. And another one is, and take this for what I mean, but, and some of us can relate to this, maybe it's family members. I know when my husband retired, my whole agenda for the day changed. And my hours of time with the Lord changed. And so I had to be more creative. And so, yes, God has blessed us with family. But sometimes, and depending on what season of life you're in, it's you're either getting up before your family gets up. Or sometimes it's you're in the car. At the park, in the garage, whatever. But do you find a place to make that happen? If I find I'm distracted with my thoughts, I stop and I ask God to enable me to focus on him and his word. Hebrews 12:1-2, you'll hear both of us, both Jen and I mention this one frequently, but fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So when we're praying that, "Lord, help me fix my eyes on you, on Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith." And then Colossians 3:2, Paul wrote, "Set my mind on things above." So again, prayer, "Lord, help me set my mind on you and those things that are above." And about the falling asleep, well, praying out loud is an almost sure way to stay awake, right? I think we have to think that it's quiet, but it's non we're not talking, but it is. It's talking to your friend. It's talking to your Savior. It's the talking out loud that is often will help us stay focused. I've experienced some spiritual dryness more than once in my walk with the Lord, and that also can be a hindrance. I know we don't talk about this too much, but it's really a season when prayer and scripture can feel unusually difficult or flat, and God may feel distant even while you are desiring Him. Often this dryness is often about our experiences and our emotions, not about God's nearness. Again, nothing can separate us from His presence. And this can be a hindrance to prayer. While having this minimal desire to pray, you feel like you're just going through the motions and you lack joy. Dryness can have different causes, including seasons where God is actually teaching you to trust Him beyond how you feel. It can be related to exhaustion and grief and stress and prolonged illness. And the solution is, oh, let me guess, ask. We're going to go to the Lord, right? And ask God to renew your desire and spiritual energy or vigor. Persist in prayer. Pray scripture. Practice gratitude, meaning taking the time to bring to remembrance all the blessings that God has given you. Don't rely on your emotions. God has given us emotions, but He's also given us the truth that we need to focus on and that we need to align our hearts with. And praise God for who He is. God has given us emotions. However, we know from Scripture that they can deceive us. Don't stop being in the Word. Think in this season of life when these things come about, you don't stop doing what you've been doing. You continue to pursue God and draw near to Him. How important corporate worship is, being together with fellow believers, surrounding yourself and employing sisters to pray you through that season, to pray with you. Psalm 42:5 says, "Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why are you disturbed within me? Wait for God, for I shall still praise Him for the salvation of His presence." I love that. And then James reminds us in 4:8, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you." That's a promise. That's a promise. So it's like that whole aspect of we talk continually about dependent responsibility. We have to move one foot. Like Lulu, coming up and standing here, that she had to do that on her own, right? But the Spirit spoke through her, and she was obedient, and I'm so grateful for that. But that is the same in all of our lives when we're asked to do difficult things. So discouragement is another hindrance. And this is the act of being disheartened. Essentially, our focus is on ourselves, if we're really honest, and not the Lord. We can be discouraged by prolonged trials. We can be discouraged by unmet expectations when life is what isn't what you thought it would be. Think that's one of those things as you get older and a lot of things change, or you figured it was going to be a certain way and it's not quite like that. But that can be discouraging if we have our focus off of the Lord. We can be discouraged by delayed answers to prayer, or focusing on what had gone wrong or might go wrong. Feeling like your serving in God has yielded no results. Mm-hmm. And doubt God's ability to answer your prayers. We allow discouragement to draw us away from the Lord, and this will hinder our prayers. So again, what's the solution to that? It's don't stay in that place very long, right? It's asking God to help you bring your focus back on Him and off of yourself. As our Heavenly Father, we can talk to Him, entrusting Him with our burdens, and trust Him as He works in you the good that He purposed in your life. God's precious word is full of encouragement. I know often when I begin to feel discouraged, I cling to 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. "Therefore, we do not lose heart, Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but that is unseen is eternal. Focusing on those eternal truths and values over the temporary struggles that we are being discouraged about. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burden upon Yahweh and he will sustain you. That's a promise. That's a promise that when we are feeling overburdened, that we can cast those things upon Yahweh, and he promises that he's going to sustain us. Joshua 1:9 was a verse we had up in the house all of the time when it came to those things of hesitancy and discouragement. It's be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Truths that we can hold on to when we are experiencing these hindrances. The final one I want to mention this morning is busyness. And I don't know if you've picked up on it all the way through all these things I've experienced. And most of us who've walked with the Lord for a while have also experienced these things. But most of us can attest to how being too busy can limit or take away our time with the Lord. We can have our days so filled with everything but him. Oh, but they might be good things. They might seem to be good things. And yet we get halfway through our day and realize that we missed our quiet time, that all these things that needed to be done, and now halfway through the day you're realizing, whoa, wait a minute, and then you stop. But we can have our days filled with so much and worry and anxiety that we neglect to come to the one who gives us peace and is the answer for all of these things. We always make time for what's important, and practicing God's presence is important. As someone who needs reminding, put God first in and throughout your day. There's this blessing in relationship with him and others. God somehow works exponentially to enable me to accomplish the things that he has put before me. Truth. If you haven't seen that or experienced that in your life, give it a go. It is so true. You take that time with the Lord and all the other things fall into place. Because we're aligning our heart with him, our perspective is his, and we understand more about what are really the important things of the day, and we'll find that some of those things aren't so important. But it prepares our heart for what God does have for us that day. So the solution to busyness, well, it's not to stop doing anything or everything. If you struggle with having every moment of your day scheduled, you need to stop this day and you need to pray. Ask God to guide you in repurposing your priorities in such a way that your use of time isn't a hindrance to your relationship with God. And I love the fact that often, for those of us that are married, often God uses our husbands to help in this area too, as we're talking through what you're doing for the day or where you're going. But make a commitment to begin your day with the Lord and employ an accountability partner to help you with this. Oftentimes that is incredibly helpful to have someone who is asking you about that. You know, how's your week gone and how are you purposing to find that, to make that time and make that be first priority. So, practicing God's presence is basically learning to turn your attention back to God throughout the day so prayer becomes a consistent pattern, not an occasional event. Start your day before you even get out of bed. For some of us, we have to pray that we can physically get out of bed, but this is, Father, help me live this day with you and for you. If you're just starting out and learning to pray, begin with a 5-minute period of time. You can use a timer, and just as you grow, those minutes can be added. So you can be faithful in 5 minutes and move that timer out to where you're praying longer. Like I've said before, there are a lot of formulas to how you can pray, and they really just help us with structure. But the reality is, God just wants our heart and wants that time with him. And the pr- praying of God's attributes puts our mind in the right place as we begin. But the confession of repentance, how important that is in our time with the Lord and throughout the day, and acknowledging and thanking God. There's so much that we can thank God for. And then there's the petitions, requests, and supplications. I think a lot of times with these, it's like we hurry up because here's the thing that's on our heart that you need or that you want to pray for because something, a request has come through. But the reality is before we even do that, acknowledging who God is in adoration and praise. So one of the other things that's important is what I call, you can use whatever word you want, but little, like mini prayers, not like long, even repeated things, but the Lord guide me. You're in a situation where you need wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom. It's amazing how our minds work, that we can be doing something, and as we're doing those somethings, we can be praying, or we can be praising Him, or we can be thanking Him, or maybe Monday is the day that you're praying for grandchild, whatever, or daughter, or however that all works. But one of the things that can help is build in reminders. Link prayers to things you do routinely. I did this early on with when I'm washing the dishes, when I was doing the laundry. The thing I hated the most was scrubbing toilets, and that was the time, hey, I'm praising you, Lord, and you're either singing or you're thanking God, but it's just a part of your day. And it just comes out. So if you're thinking about preparing meals, grocery shopping, anything that we do, vacuuming, it's linking prayer to those things that you're doing regularly to begin to purpose this living this way with practicing God's presence. Women, we're good at self-talk or getting in our heads. When you notice that you're talking yourself, we all do it. You're planning, you're worrying, you're thinking about earlier conversations they had. Well, what did she really mean? And, you know, you just go crazy that way. But redirecting our mind into a conversation with Him and into His Word and taking thoughts captive can turn all of those things in our hearts, in our heads, into prayer. I've talked already about practicing praise and gratitude. I think when we're tempted to complain, again, our focus is off the wrong thing, and praising helps fix our heart on who God is. One thing that was really helpful to me, and biblically, as older women in the faith, we are called to do this, but asking an older woman in the faith to commit to praying with you on a regular basis. This is so invaluable. So valuable to helping you grow in your obedience to this command to pray without ceasing. For me, I didn't come from a Christian family, and I relied on a lot of spiritual moms to help me understand what this praying without ceasing looks like and how it has changed as I mature in my walk with the Lord. There's such sweetness in practicing God's presence, acknowledging His nearness, and living our day with Him in ever-growing relationship. So this morning, if you feel like prayer is more sporadic and occasional, or maybe you feel like your prayer life with the Lord could be more intimate, you can trust that God is going to work in you what He has begun, and that He's going to draw you closer to Him as you draw near to Him. I've talked about tangible solutions to bring those hindrances to prayer, and helps that will enable you to become a consistent prayer warrior. God desires and enables a growing relationship with Him, and He will be faithful to enable us to be obedient to His command to pray without ceasing. Heavenly Father, Lord, we exalt You, and we bless Your name forever and ever. Every day we desire to bless You and praise Your name forever and ever. We praise You that Your love abounds and that Your loving kindness is everlasting. We praise You for Your faithfulness to Your promises and that Your word is true. We praise You that You are immutable and never changing, that You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We praise You that You are omniscient, that You know all things, and that You know what we need even before we ask. And we know, you know, that we need your help to do anything you command. We're thankful for Jesus' example of prayer, the many psalms, and Paul's heart of prayer that has taught us how to pray more specifically for the spiritual needs of others. Lord, thank you for Jen, who's prepared and taught our weekly lessons, for every leader, small group leader, who have faithfully served and shepherded our ladies. Thank you, Lord, for the women who have so faithfully facilitated prayer in our small group. And Lord, I just thank you for Bonnie, who has edited and been such an important part of the process of getting our lessons ready. Lord, thank you so much for Jen, who did all the cover art and all the artsy things that we can appreciate in our study, and for Patty and Debbie, who have just been so helpful in editing and preparing the lesson that you have, that the ladies had before them. Lord, I pray for each woman here that you would enable them to grow in their intimacy and prayer, and that this summer would not be a reason for complacency or drifting away from you. That, Lord, that our relationships with you would be strong, they would be growing, that we would learn to pray without ceasing, and, Lord, that we would glorify you in the words we say, in the prayers we put before you, and the actions and the things, Lord, that we do, that we endeavor to honor and glorify you with. Lord, I thank you for this lunch that you have lovingly provided for us through Helen's group. And Lord, I just pray that our time around our tables would be mutually encouraging and just such sweet fellowship, Lord. We just thank you again for this precious time together. And in Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.